You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
On the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, as I always say, your friendly spiritual psychologist. Hope you're having a wonderful day. As always, every Friday, we are live here on LA Talk Radio, you and I together on the couch, 11 Pacific Standard Time. And from around the world, I welcome your calls in response to my special guests and topics that we always focus on, which are fascinating, always. I would like you to call in if you would be so inclined, if you want to talk to my special guest today. That number here in Los Angeles is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. And also, I would encourage you to email me as well, if you would like to. Respond immediately on the air here. It's docmichelle@aol.com. Questions, comments, anything you'd like to say, it's Doc Michelle with two L's at AOL.com. So here we go. Another fabulous special guest. My guest today is Burt Goldman. You may have heard of him. You know the guy, don't you, folks? He's known as the American Monk. He's a world-renowned meditation master. Burt's a spiritual coach, mind power expert, a trainer of trainers. He's a therapist, a healer, metaphysical researcher. What else can I say? Well, we'll say more as well. And he's dedicated his life to helping people find their inner confidence, self-esteem in their own lives. And when he's not helping others, he's on a constant quest to better himself. And he's always working on new and exciting projects, many of which we're going to talk about today. One of my favorites. It's called Quantum Jumping. And you're on the line. Hey, Burt, nice to have you with me this morning.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Wow, with that introduction, I can hardly wait to hear what I'm going to say.
Well, I read your books, and I also know that you have a great writer, publicist, and yourself, actually. You're the man who really creates all of the wonderful work and puts it out there for everybody. So, you know, you really, again, do not look 83, and you don't act supposedly as society says, but you've done so many wonderful things for everybody, and you're so full of energy. You got a lot more energy than I do. Really. And I mean, I'm not that much younger than you, but I don't know how you do it. You're an author, an artist, photographer, musician, a therapist, a healer. How do you do all that stuff, Bert? How do you do that?
I think, you know, like the centipede. Somebody asked, how do you walk with 1,000 legs? And when he started to think about it, he fell over.
There you go. That's my theory. Don't even think about it. You just keep going.
You just do it. Yeah. That's all. But people often ask me, you know, of course, nobody can see me. I'm on the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, you can see me at BurtGoldman.com, and you look at it. And when did you take that picture? Well, I took it when I was 83.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that what it is, it's not diet, because I eat everything. I eat in moderation. Mm-hmm. It's not vitamins. I don't take any.
Yeah.
It's not exercise. I don't get any. So what is it?
Yeah.
I've thought about it for a long time. It's attitude.
Yes.
If I had to sum it all up in one word, it would be attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that, you know, and everything that you have learned over 50 years and shared with a lot of people, I mean, that once you are ingrained in your positive thinking and the way you think, boy, you're really youthful. So let's talk about your spiritual journey a little bit, which led you to being the American monk. You said 50 years ago you really started exploring a lot of spiritual and, mind control techniques.
Well, it really started even before that. It started in 1946.
Wow. Yeah.
I was in the Army, the mm-hmm. American Army, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because very often people from other countries are listening.
Yes.
And I was stationed in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is before the Korean War. As a matter of fact, I never even heard of Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the Korean War was in the 50s, mm-hmm. early 50s.
Right.
And we were there in 1946. I happened to have a friend, my best friend, my buddy in the Army, mm-hmm. A fellow named Kim. He was Korean, American, but Korean, so he spoke Korean.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to wander. We were stationed right on the 38th parallel outside of Seoul.
Yes.
And we used to wander. Seoul was different then, of course.
Right.
The Japanese had occupied Japan for
yeah.
years. And
yeah.
Anyway, we used to wander through the backwoods, so to speak, and people would love to see us because he was an American soldier that spoke Korean.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one day it all started. My whole journey really started when we were in the house of someone who happened to be named Kim.
Hmm.
And my friend would talk to them, and I would just sit around and smile. And it was an elderly couple.
Yes.
And they had an organ in the room.
Huh.
And now I don't play
right.
The piano. I take one finger and tap out a tune.
Yeah.
The only tune I knew was Auld Lang Syne.
Right.
Da, 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 da.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I sit down at the organ while my friends are talking.
Yeah.
My friend is talking.
All right.
And I pick out Auld Lang Syne.
Right.
Yeah. And the couple jump up, and they're standing, and they're smiling, and they're gesticulating. Their hands are all over the place.
Right.
And they're talking a mile a minute to my friend. I said, what's going on?
Yeah.
He said, you're playing the Korean national anthem.
Oh. Wow, little did you know. So.
I says, you're kidding.
Yeah.
He says, no. And I had to look it up myself when I got back to the United States because I didn't believe it. It was.
Wow.
At the time, that was
funny.
The tune.
Yes. So.
Just like, I won't get into other things. But at any rate, we got very friendly, and we would go there every now and again. We'd go there. Well, we went there about maybe a dozen times
mm-hmm.
over a period of 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm. And
one day I was there, and I had a headache.
Yes.
And this, the Korean gentleman, Mr. Kim, my friend told him I had a headache and because I didn't look good. So he came over and he waved his hands over my head, it seemed to me. My headache went away just like that. And
wow.
I said, but what'd he do?
Yeah.
Well, it turned out the guy was a mystic.
Yes.
And this was my introduction into the metaphysical world. I didn't know anything at all about it.
Right.
But he was telling me things through my friend who was translating everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that kind of whet my appetite.
Sure.
Well, from Korea, I was sent to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And in Hawaii, I was stationed at Schofield Barracks.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is north of Honolulu. And wandering through a pineapple field one day, I meet a kahuna. Had no idea what a kahuna was.
Right.
But we started talking, and I was telling him about my experience with Mr. Kim.
Yes.
Because it was still very fresh in my mind.
Right, right.
And he said, well, we do that all the time.
Oh.
I said, what? He says, we're healing.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced me to what ultimately I discovered to be Qigong healing.
Interesting. Yes. Uh-huh.
And Qigong, Chigong, literally means, Qi is energy, of
yes.
course.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everyone knows that.
Yes.
And Gong, according to my Chinese friends, the closest translation we can come to is manipulation.
Yes.
So it's energy manipulation.
Right, right.
So I learned a little bit about that,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm like primed
yes.
for everything. Finally, I get discharged. I'm back in the United States. It's 1948, and I'm introduced to a great yogi. I mm-hmm. didn't know anything about yoga,
mm-hmm.
but a friend of mine who was a concert violinist, a fellow named Ben Denoff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He tells me, hey, you've got to hear this guy. He's fantastic. I'm going to hear a yogi. No, no. He started talking about healings and other things.
Right, right.
and this great book that he read, autobiography. Anyway, so we go to hear Armand Sivakananda. And to talk, to say I was bowled over, I didn't even feel like I was in the presence of a human being.
Oh, I understand.
This guy was, his stature was
He was amazing.
He was absolutely amazing, and I was taken.
Yes.
And I became a disciple.
Right. He still has that Self-Realization Institute out here in near Santa Monica area. Yeah.
Still, it's still around. Right. It's still around, and in the Pacific Palisades, of course, the Lake Shrine. I used to practically live there.
Yes.
In fact, I wanted to move in.
I bet.
At that time, they had an apartment there, and I was ready to move in and become a full-time monk because I was just kind of nibbling at the edges.
Yes.
So my friends started calling me the American monk. And then Yogananda passed in a mystical fashion.
Yes, he did.
That, I won't get into that story because most people know it.
Right.
And I had to decide at that time that I want to devote my life to this, which many of my friends did. Or my marriage, because I was married at the time and my wife was pregnant. I said, well, no, I can't leave her now.
Yes, yes.
But I had that as a beginning.
Yes.
And after that, I studied metaphysics, I studied hypnosis, I studied the Rosicrucian Order.
Yes.
And I started teaching other people. This is in the 50s.
Yes.
And one thing led to another, and I started something called Supermind and Mental Dynamics. I was selling Mental Dynamics, shows you how innocent Ben Dennis and I were.
You're right.
We were selling something called Mental Dynamics, the Key to Nerve Control, in 1951.
Well, you know.
We were selling it for $5.
That seemed right at
every
the time
we got an order, we got excited.
There you go. Good for you. That's pretty good at
that. That was the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
And then
amazing.
Ultimately, leading up to the present in the 60s and 70s, I joined the Silver Organization. And, of course, with my background, their teachings were like duck soup, and I just added my own. I very soon became their number one instructor.
Yes.
And then became their ambassador, and then I started training their people in my methods. And one thing led to another. I started writing books, and then I discovered something very unusual.
What was that?
That was, I was reading something by, I think it was, well, I don't, I shouldn't say, it was a quantum physicist. I'm not sure who it was. And the fact that in quantum physics, there's a belief that there is an infinity of universes.
Right.
Now, an infinity means never ending.
Yes.
If there is a true thing, say, and infinity, we can't even imagine infinity.
Yeah. That's right.
Infinity is, well, like the stars are infinite. I know that scientists say that it's not so. There are bounds, but we haven't discovered them yet.
Yeah.
But in quantum physics, the infinity of universes means that in one of those universes, I'm Michelle and you're Bert. In another one, you're the Queen of England.
Yes.
In another one, you're homeless.
Right.
Whatever you can imagine is in one of those universes. This is not a metaphysical belief.
Right.
This is a quantum physics belief. Many of them actually believe this. And I was fascinated by this.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Well, by them, I was well known. As a matter of fact, I had just got through speaking for Edgar Mitchell, invited me to speak before his group in Petaluma, which I had done. And I had lunch with Edgar, and I was talking about these things with Dr. Mitchell, I should say. And so many of them believe this, but what they can't tell you is how to tap into that. And so I started thinking, well, if there's a me who's, let's say, a great artist, a great singer, a great pianist, a great whatever, I wonder if I can reach him, tap into that energy, and bring it back with me.
Him or her, I guess.
Him or her. Well, there's a her, me too.
There you go.
If it's infinite, there's no time. All time is present time.
Exactly.
You can go 2,000 years into the past or 2,000 years into the future. Yes. It's all now in an infinite universe.
That's true.
The first time I did this, I thought, let me go into a me that's an entertainer, singer. I'm just fooling around with it.
So you're not a singer or an entertainer, right?
I'm not a singer. I've never sung before. I mean, yeah, happy birthday.
In the shower,
somebody.
That's right.
But I've never, I don't even sing in the shower. So I said, well, if I could learn how to sing from my doppelganger. A doppelganger is literally translated as double walker, double walker.
Yes.
And so I thought, well, if I can tap into my doppelganger, I wonder, can I bring back some of that energy and use it?
From the other Bert, who is a performer, musician, singer on the other,
exactly,
in the other universe. Okay, all right.
So I go into a meditation state. A meditation is, we can go into that later, but let me just say it's a super relaxed state. So I go into a meditation state, and I imagined that I wanted to go into a universe where I was an entertainer. And suddenly, and it was very clear, you know, sometimes a visualization, a daydream is clear, and sometimes it's a little fuzzy.
Right.
This one was clear.
Yeah.
Super clear.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I see me on a stage.
Okay.
Like Frank Sinatra. I had on a tuxedo. And I'm in front of the band, and the orchestra is the Bount Casey Orchestra.
Right.
Never forget.
Sure.
Not Count Basie.
Right. The Bount Casey.
Casey.
Okay.
Casey
that was orchestra. What was going on in your alpha state of mind, right?
Yeah. Well, I was in the alpha state at the time. Right. And so I walk over to the me, and I says, can you teach me how to sing?
Hmm.
He says, sure, jump into my body.
All right.
I says, okay. So I imagine slipping in. You know, when you're daydreaming, you can do anything.
Sure.
So I slip into his body, and I'm singing with him. And he says, you know, you don't know any songs. I said, but no, I don't. He says, learn one and come back.
I do know Auld Lang Syne, but I can only play that on
No, I didn't even know. I didn't know the words to it. I just knew the tune.
Right.
So I go and I learn a song, and it was actually, the song was Besame Mucho.
That's so funny.
A real old song.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
And I learn it, and I'm singing it in my imagination in the body of Frank Sinatra, me.
Mm-hmm.
And all the time I'm thinking, am I going nuts? I'm having a nervous breakdown. What is it? Anyway, when I come out of it, I think, you know, I think I might know how to sing.
Yes.
So a friend of mine is a piano player.
Yeah.
And he comes over the house one day, and I says, hey, his name's Ronnie. I says, hey, Ron, do you happen to know Besame Mucho? He says, sure. I says, play it and listen to me sing. He says, okay. So he plays it, and I sing. And I says, how was that? He says, what do you mean? I says, can I sing? And he says, what do you mean, can you sing? You just sang. No, I mean, am I good?
Right.
He says, you mean, are you a professional? I says, yeah. He says, well, he says, you're not bad.
Wow. Yeah, and you really
After
weren't
that,
a singer.
I started singing at the drop of a hat, to the point where I was in Chicago waiting for a plane.
Right.
And I go into a bar.
Right.
I don't normally go into bars. In the airport, I go in and just have a cup of coffee or a beer or something.
Right.
And there's a pianist there, and I walk over to him, and I says, you know Besame Mucho?
No, you didn't.
He says, yeah. I said, let me sing it.
Oh.
So he plays it. I sing it. The owner of the bar comes over, and he says, "Where you have a gig now?" And I says, no. He says, would you like a job here?
That's right. You go, well, I'm not cheap, you know. That is really fun. That's so cool. I love that. So this is sort of the beginning of your experimentation with the idea of quantum
jumping. That was the first time.
Wow.
I used it again for writing.
Mm-hmm.
To bring it closer to the present, this is truly amazing.
Yeah.
Because I probably could always sing.
Yes.
But one thing that I knew I was not was an artist.
Yes. Yes.
If I were to draw, I would draw a circle, that's the head,
mm-hmm,
a
right.
line, you know, like a stick figure.
You're a stick figure artist. And by the way, let me just to interrupt.
There you go.
Let me interrupt
there
you briefly. Bert, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And today my special guest is Bert Goldman, also known as the American Monk. And you might have heard about his latest, well, it's been around for over a year now, but it's been around for quite a while, I know in your mind, Bert. But it's called Quantum Jumping. And it's kind of the interdimensional quest for a better you. And we're going to talk about that as well. And we're talking about how Bert sort of went in to find his, it's a doppelganger, right? Which is the sort of a double walker.
I call it a twin self. Easier to understand.
Yeah, wasn't that in the Matrix movies or something, I think, too? The concept of, you know.
The concept has been around for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So you went into that alpha state and you sort of entered the body of your other doppelganger, who was a Frank Sinatra style singer, and you really kind of learned in those simple alpha state sessions on how to really sing and belt it out there. So you were talking about artistry in terms of drawing. Now you tried this again, right?
I did it again when I was 78. I mention that because most people, you don't start a new career.
Well,
right,
that's true. 78. That's true. A lot of
I don't know the first thing about art. And I go to my twin self, who's an artist, and I see a guy like Van Gogh. He's painting, and I walk over to him. I say, hey, can you teach me how to paint? And he says, get a brush and some paint, then paint. So that's all I heard. I said, well, what kind of advice is that?
He's a pretty firm guy. I mean, yeah. Okay.
I says, I got to get something from you.
Right.
So the guy says, merge with me, and you'll have my rhythm.
Okay.
Now, rhythm is what is, excuse me, rhythm is what this is all about.
Okay.
You can't bring back a talent.
Right.
You can't go into a piano player you or a violinist you and bring back the dexterity with you.
Okay.
You can't do that.
Okay.
That's not possible.
Okay.
But what you can do is get the rhythm. Now, what do I mean by rhythm?
Yeah.
Every person, every place, everything has a particular rhythm.
Yes.
You know that when, let's say, if you were to close your eyes and be transported to a church or a temple or a synagogue, it would be peaceful. You'd know it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then be transferred to a hospital or a police station, and it would be a very different rhythm, different type rhythm.
Right.
Cities have rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
If you meet a person and you feel that, gee, this is my life mate, or you just like them.
Right.
Your rhythm is similar.
Right.
Now,
right.
Also, you're going to meet people, and you just take an instant dislike to them, and you don't know why.
Right, exactly.
Your rhythms
right.
are off.
It's sort of the vibrational frequencies
it
you're talking
exactly
about.
Exactly, vibration.
Yeah.
It is vibration or energy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an artist has a particular rhythm, a particular vibration that I don't have as not an artist. That I can bring back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I merged with my artist self, and I brought back that rhythm, and I started painting.
Hmm.
In 3 months, I painted 110 canvases.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, these canvases, you can see it if you go to bertsart.us, which is totally non-commercial, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not selling anything. I'm not doing anything. I'm just showing my art.
Yes.
When you look at it, you'll say, well, this guy didn't start painting when he was 78.
Okay.
He's been painting all his life.
Because
I can't believe some of my paintings myself.
Yeah, if you do go on that website, I checked it out, and you are an artist. You are.
I don't feel like it, but I know I am.
Yeah, your art is beautiful.
I got this from jumping into a twin self and bringing back his rhythm.
So what you're saying is people can go into the process of quantum jumping through the techniques, which we can talk about if it's okay, and really find information and learn how to be possibly whatever they want to be. This is not all about, I'm going to gain massive quantities of wealth, but that too, if you'd like, I assume, but also about good health. It has to do with helping you with relationships, helping you with fears, just about anything in order to really get the information you need to help
exactly.
you in your life. Yeah.
Exactly.
I just wanted to throw in, the idea of the process. There is a difference, first of all, between metaphysics and physics, or is there?
Well, physics is the physical world.
Okay.
Everything you see, touch, feel, smell, that's all physics.
Right.
The world, Earth, that's physics.
Yeah.
Meta, if you'll understand it better if you change the word meta to beyond.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Metaphysics really means beyond physics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Metaphysics resides in the mental world.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that is outside of the physical world is in either the mental world or the spiritual world.
Yes.
There are three planes of existence,
mm-hmm.
the physical, the mental, and the spiritual.
Right.
The physical we know all about.
Yeah.
The mental, we know quite a bit. Psychologically,
right.
we know a lot, but
right.
we don't know it all. But to study the mental world,
mm-hmm.
you study the physical, because
mm-hmm.
the mental is just a higher form of the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
wow.
the spiritual is a total mystery.
Right.
But the same clue is to understand the spiritual, you study the mental.
Yes.
Because the spiritual is a higher form, let's say, of the mental world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, the spiritual world, you can't really represent, you can't represent God as an example.
Mm-hmm.
How can you represent an infinite being?
Mm-hmm.
But people want to see. So we usually use the anthropomorphic figure of
yes.
that Michelangelo drew for us on the Sistine Chapel
yep.
of an old man with big muscles and a white beard.
Right.
infinity is so far beyond that.
Yes.
I like to liken infinity to the stars, let's say.
Yes.
If you were to take every grain of sand
mm-hmm.
on every beach, mm. on every desert, in the Great Gobi, in the Great Sahara, in the Mojave, every single grain on every beach, and see every grain as a star,
right.
as a star system,
right.
you would have 1 millionth of how many stars there actually are,
mm-hmm.
and then you still wouldn't be close to infinity.
Yes. That is
infinity
amazing.
Is beyond, and of course God created all this.
Yeah, right. And,
so
and as
we
little,
can't represent it.
Yes, and we can't even understand it unless we get into certain possible mental stages. It's very hard to comprehend being within this physical body. I mean, it's very difficult.
It's a little easier to understand with quantum jumping when you realize that with quantum jumping, you will experience everything.
Yes.
Now, not your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people often ask, if you've got a 10 million bodies, you have 10 million souls?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, no, I can explain that very easily.
Right.
Let's take an old-fashioned cassette tape.
Okay.
They're still around.
Yeah.
Here's the cassette tape. Now, the cassette tape is your soul.
Right.
That's where, as an example, the cassette tape is your, what can you put on the cassette tape?
Right.
You can put garbage on it, you can put pornography on it, or you
right.
could put very spiritual things. You can put anything on
right.
it, can't
right.
you?
Sure, absolutely.
But that doesn't change the cassette tape.
Right. The tape is still
cassette
the tape.
The tape is still the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Same as your soul. Your soul is indestructible
mm-hmm.
and eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that you are you might say, temporary residents of your soul.
Mm.
Your soul accepts everything.
Yes.
Just as the cassette tape accepts everything.
Yes.
So you want to put only good things in it. Once you know that, once you represent that, once you see that metaphor, you begin to understand, hey, I just want to put the good things on my soul.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It makes sense.
Now, the good things, you have all the good things. And you can see yourself in any phase with anything that you want. You can see yourself as healthy, as wealthy. Will you automatically become healthy? Will you automatically become wealthy? Well, you know, that depends.
Yeah.
What does it depend on? You have a lot of pre-programming in your past. When I say you, the general you,
yeah.
everyone.
Right.
And some of you have created a tremendous momentum. People
mm-hmm.
never speak of the momentum. At least I've never heard anyone speaking of momentum, and
mm-hmm.
it's so important.
Yes.
Why does it work for my cousin, who's a stupid idiot, who's a multimillionaire, and I'm 10 times smarter?
Right.
Why is this guy healthy and I'm always sick?
Right.
Well, you know, you develop this momentum, and even when you have the right knowledge, you got to slow that momentum down. It's like if you were walking, you can stop very easily, no momentum. If you're running and you've got a lot of momentum, it takes a while to stop. If you're running downhill and you try to stop all of a sudden, you can't do it.
Right.
You've got so much momentum.
Right.
So the idea of quantum jumping is to neutralize the momentum.
In the brain, all of the stuff going on in the mind.
It's all in the mind. Mm-hmm. Everything is in the, everything that's ever happened to you.
Absolutely.
It's in your mind. It's not real. There is no now.
Right.
Everything I just said is already in the past.
It certainly is. But we can remember.
So there
it.
Is no now.
That's true.
Everything is in your mind, your memory. Now you can control
right.
your memory.
Yes. Yes, you can. When, you know, speaking about mind control, when people say we only use a tenth of our brain, do people really do that? I mean, can quantum jumping help people use more of their brain?
Well, you know, that is such an old homily.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. No, yeah. You know, scientists are coming a little closer. They say that the average person uses 2% of his brain and Einstein used 10%.
Yeah.
Now, these are just figures people
yeah.
pull out of the air.
Right.
Nobody
right.
really knows.
Yeah.
Can you use more of your brain through quantum jumping or through some other process? Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The proof of that is that we change, well, we change every octave. Part of the quantum jumping is training people in octaves.
Right.
An octave would be, a musical octave, of course, is seven notes from A to G.
Okay.
And then you go into a higher octave.
Right.
The eighth note is the next octave.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called an octave. Mm-hmm. Well, you can see that in the first 7 years of your, the first octave from one to seven.
Yes, yes.
Including seven, so eight would start your second octave.
Okay.
The 7-year-old is totally different from the 14-year-old.
Yes.
14-year-old totally different from the 21-year-old,
right.
the 28. So we change every octave. There's a major change.
As do
now,
ourselves.
Now, it it's not right smack on the day. It's,
yes.
You
yes.
know, there's a cusp there.
Yeah.
And when you understand octaves, you begin to see that your brain is changing, and you are beginning to use more of your brain. Or I like to say more of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I train people in doing is to use more of their mind.
Yes.
That I can do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you that you're going to use more of your brain. I can tell you how to use more of your mind right now.
Yes, exactly. So
now you want to know how to use more of your mind?
I was just going to ask you. Let's do
I'm
it.
I'm about to tell you.
I'm ready. I'm taking notes.
Now, to tell you how to use more of your mind, I'm going to tell you something that you already know.
Okay.
I'm going to show you how to use less of your mind. Because if I show you how to use less of your mind and you just reverse the process, you'll automatically know how to use more of your mind.
Okay. So less is more.
In this case, understanding is more. How do you understand?
Okay.
Okay, let's show you how.
All right.
Has to do with brain waves.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain produces electromagnetic energy, electricity.
Right.
Now, this is not metaphysical. This is physical.
Yes.
It's measurable.
Yes.
When you go to the doctor for an EEG,
that's
an electroencephalograph,
that's right.
What they're doing is measuring your brainwave activity.
That's right. You get to see those brainwaves print out.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your brain normally, like right now, our brain is in what they call the beta area.
Mm-hmm.
But your brain is beating, they don't call it a beat, they call it a frequency, but
right.
let's call it a beat, just for ease of explanation.
Consciousness frequency.
Okay, consciousness frequency.
Something like that.
Is around 21 cycles a second.
Right.
That's what it's beating at now.
Mm-hmm.
And your heart is beating at about, maybe 60, 65 a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty normal.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the brain.
Okay.
So your brain is at 21 cycles a minute. Now, what raises or lowers your brainwave activity are your emotions.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Now, before I get into that, let me define the word emotion for
mm-hmm.
you, because most
okay.
people don't know what an emotion is.
Okay.
Oh, I know you say anger is an emotion.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but that's trading one word for another.
Yeah.
An emotion is any thought.
Mm-hmm.
Any thought that has like or dislike attached to it.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So
right.
if you like something, you're emotional. The more you like it, the more emotional.
Yes. Yes.
The more you dislike something, the more emotion.
Right. Right.
So let's take anger as an example.
All right.
You're angry. When you get angry, your brainwave goes up a wee bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anger is a good thing because it allows us to to either get out of the way, fight or flight, as they
right.
call it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Or protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. But when you get too angry, your brainwaves go up. Now, 21 is accurate, but now I'm guessing. But let's say they go up to 30,
right.
35.
Right, right.
Now, the higher your brainwaves go, the less you are able to think.
Yes.
And the proof of that is when your brainwaves go up to a point where anger turns into fury.
Yes.
Now you're furious.
Yep.
When you're furious, you do not think of consequences.
Yep. Yep.
And when you don't think of consequences, you're not thinking at all. You're subject to do anything.
Yes. Yeah. Emotions get in the way of thought.
Emotions get in the way and you stop using your mind.
Right.
Fear is the same. When fear turns into panic.
Right.
Your emotions are so high, your brainwaves are so high that you stop thinking about consequences.
Yeah.
And
yes.
people kill themselves running over other people trying to get out of the way
right.
of something.
That's right.
Now, everybody knows this.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to use less of your mind.
Right.
How to use less of your mind? Just get more emotional.
Yeah.
Now, how do you use more of your mind?
Right.
Just reverse it.
Right.
Now, the way to use more of your mind is simply to relax, to be uncaring, to meditate.
Yes.
Because when you're meditating, all that minutia of thought is not in your mind, and you're concentrating on one subject only.
Right.
And now that's the key to using more of your mind, being in a relaxed state of mind, being in an uncaring
yes, exactly.
state of mind.
And that's really the key to sort of getting into to doing the quantum jumping.
Yes.
By
yes,
the way,
before you jump, you want to be totally relaxed.
It's true. And if you just tuned in, by the way, here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, and I'm talking to my special guest today, Bert Goldman. You've also read his books, I'm sure. He's known as the American Monk, and, of course, helped create the Silva Method of Mind Control. And now his latest quest to help everyone in their life is called Quantum Jumping. A lot of the concepts are taken from quantum physics. We all have different doppelgangers, and multiple universes exist out there where we can become and try to learn and jump into our other selves and learn. We can learn anything, can't we, Bert? I mean, we can learn skills, like I said, but we can also, we can have insights. We can learn about relationships. We can also heal ourselves, can't we?
You can learn about relationships. You can learn to heal yourselves. Mm. You can learn just about, and we keep it simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like you mentioned relationships.
Right.
You know, there are books, tons of books, thousands of books on relationships. I can tell you all about relationships in one sentence.
Right. What's that?
And you're not going to learn any more if you read 100 books.
Right.
Now, that's quite a statement I just made, isn't it? Oh, it sounds almost presumptuous. But see if you still think so when I tell you the key to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
All a relationship is a filling of needs.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a relationship with someone and that person has a strong need, whatever that need might be, and you fill that need,
right.
you got a good relationship.
Yes.
And if they have a very strong need and you don't fill that need, you got a lousy relationship.
Yes, it's true.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now, it's a mutual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some needs are ones and twos. If you fill them, that's okay. If you don't fill them, it's okay, too. But some needs are tens.
Yes.
They have to be filled.
Right.
You don't fill those needs, you got a rotten relationship.
Right.
So
right.
what the key to relationship, find out what your partner needs and fill the need.
There you go. That's easy.
That's easy.
But some people...
what's not so easy is the communication part.
Right, exactly. Sometimes people just can't, get around that, right?
That's right.
Some people just need more and more and more, and, you know, we can't satisfy them. So that's an
unhealthy...
Well,
then if you can't satisfy the need, then you make a decision.
Right.
Oh, well, I can't satisfy this person's needs. I got to find another person.
It's like an unhealthy relationship, right? We have a caller on the line. Should we take that, Bert?
Sure, if you want. I'm delighted always to speak with people.
Cool. Let's see who's on the air. Good morning. Hi. You're on the air with Bert Goldman, my special guest. This is Dr. Michelle. Who's this?
Hi, Doc. This is Ken
from
Santa Monica.
Hi,
Ken. How you doing?
Oh, good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good.
Hey, Bert.
Hi, Ken.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
What can I do for you?
I have a question. How do you view age, and how do you view the concept of counting years as people as time goes on? Because I've always had the philosophy that I don't count years. I stopped counting birthdays a long, long time ago.
I like that. Well,
okay, a good question. How do I count years? You're asking the right person because I don't.
That's right.
When I look in the mirror, I don't see an 84-year-old person.
If you've ever
seen... As a matter of fact, whenever I'm with my friends, I look at them, the people I grew up with, and I said, Jesus, am I that old? I hang around with young people. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't like the things that they like. But then again,
right.
They don't like the things that I like.
Right.
Right.
But how do I look at age? Now, I'm talking about my age all the time. Excuse me. Let me just take a sip of coffee here.
You know, he is. He talks about his age because, you know, Bert, I know by reading his material, and if you do too, Ken, you know, there's a lot of information about all of the things he's become in his later years. So that's why he talks about his age, basically.
Right. The artist is an amazing concept with his doppelganger.
Yeah.
And I just as a life philosophy, I stopped counting decades ago.
Good for
and
you.
I feel fantastic. I get up every morning with a spring in my step, and people around me, they say, "Oh, you know, Mark, how old are you?" And I go, "Honestly, I don't know. I don't know." So
how old are you on the calendar?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Ken, come on, out with
it. I have completely said to myself, I am not going to acknowledge, I'm not going to put that in my psyche, in my spirit, because I feel spectacular. I'll get tired, whatever, but I'll look at my day or I'll look at my week and say, I've expended a tremendous amount of energy. It's all right to go to bed at 11 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock at night and get tired and sleep in until 8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to cut myself some slack.
Well, that's a good philosophy. So you're what are you, 40s? Come on, just be
50s? I have no concept.
Oh gosh,
Dr. Michelle, this guy is really. I have no concept. I am just who I am.
I do it the opposite way, Ken. Now, I'm not saying anything's wrong with the way you do it. It's fine. But I tell people when I'm looking forward to next year when I'll be 85 because I want to do something different.
Yeah.
And when I'm 90, I really want to do something because I want people to know that it doesn't end when you're 85.
That's right.
Some people, when they're 45, they think they're out of it. Gee, I can't do this. I can't do it. I learned the internet and went on the internet when I was 80.
Yes.
Well,
yep, there you go.
Fantastic.
Now, as far as my day is concerned, I take a lot of breaks during the day, but I get up at 6:30 every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get up at 6:30. I have a cup of coffee, turn on the computer. 11 o'clock at night is when I usually turn the computer off.
Well,
now, that doesn't mean I'm working constantly for 8 straight hours. I take a lot of breaks. I watch TV. I go for a swim, take a walk around the block, play with my dog, write something. I do 15, 20 different things every day.
Right.
Paint something.
That's amazing.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well,
that is fantastic.
That is fantastic. So thank you so much, Ken, for calling in. Hope he answered your question. And
he did.
Keep up the good mind work.
I will. Thank you, Dr. Michelle.
All right,
great
take
show.
Take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling in, Kev.
You know, that's interesting, too, because, I mean, you were talking about manifestation, Bert, when you're talking about, you know, I'm planning on things that I'm going to be doing when I'm 90 years old. You're manifesting already your future as well, so.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I mean, if I could snap my fingers
right.
and be 40 again, you know, I
yeah.
would.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't concern me, as right. long as I got my health.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to talk, you know, speaking about the concepts of manifestation, and we briefly mentioned earlier, and you said you were going to share with the listeners some interesting information and a different point of view about the law of attraction. A lot of times I've had guests and authors, speakers talk about, of course, the frequency of the thought and how we stay in a certain higher frequency. It's sort of like that rhythm you were talking about, in order to, you know, stay in tune with the, what, higher self out there, or the higher power, in order to manifest what we would like to think, because that's a higher level of thought, mind, energy, vibration, and all that stuff. So you were saying that you had something a little bit different, a different kind of twist about the law of attraction. And what was that, Bert?
Well, you know, the law of attraction is attraction, to attract things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they don't address too much is the fact, excuse me, that you can attract negative things as well as positive things.
Right, right.
So how do you set the law of attraction to work?
Well, exactly, because, I mean, how do you? How do you do that, Bert?
I'll give you a very simple technique.
Okay.
So simple that you're going to think, ah, that can't work.
Okay, I'm ready.
But it does.
Okay.
And here it is.
All right.
You want to attract things. You visualize things coming towards you.
Yes. Hence the word attraction.
You want to repel things.
Yes.
You visualize things going away from you.
Mm. Yes, exactly. That makes sense. Hence the word attraction, like you said.
How do you visualize something go away from you? Just yeah. imagine you're throwing a baseball.
Yes. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense.
You want to attract visual. Something? Imagine you're catching a baseball.
Yes. Yes. That makes
let's
a lot
say,
of sense.
Mm-hmm. Let's say that you want to use one of the variety of methods of goal setting, and there's thousands of them.
Yes.
Everybody who does any self-help work at all has some sort of a goal setting technique.
Yeah.
And generally the goal setting is you visualize what you have and you don't want,
mm-hmm.
and then you visualize at some point in the future having the thing that you're setting a goal for.
Right.
That's
right.
about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what they don't address is sending that thought out. Before you can attract, you got to send the thought out.
Well, that's true. That's right.
So how do you send the thought out? When you set the goal in your mind, what you want, then you visualize something going away from you. You visualize yourself throwing a baseball,
mm-hmm.
shooting an arrow.
Yes.
Kicking a ball. Anything that's going away from you.
Right.
And then you let your thought ride out on that.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
more
then
like, yes.
to activate the law of attraction, then you visualize things coming to you, mm-hmm. whatever it is that you want.
Yes.
Now, to activate that, that's metaphysical. Let's activate it on the physical plane.
Mm-hmm.
How do you activate that on the physical plane? Now we're going to use gravity.
Okay.
Gravity is the ultimate law of attraction. Gravity attracts. Mass attracts mass.
Mm-hmm.
The greater mass attracts the lesser mass.
Right.
The greatest mass that we have, that we're involved with, is the moon.
Mm-hmm.
The moon has a tremendous pull at certain times. The strongest pull of the moon is during the new moon. The new moon is when Earth, moon, and sun are lined up.
Right.
In other words, the moon is between the sun and the Earth.
Right, right.
Called a new moon. You can't see it. You can see it in the daytime,
mm-hmm.
but at night you
yeah.
can't see yeah. it because the sun is shining on the other side. This is the time of the greatest tides.
Yes, of course.
Now, the moon has enough pull, enough attraction to literally lift the ocean
yeah.
beyond imagination, how much weight that is.
Yes, yeah.
So it's got an immense pull.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, a veterinarian friend of mine from the Midwest, he dehorns cows so they won't hurt each other.
Yeah.
He won't dehorn a cow during the new moon because it bleeds too much. That's
amazing.
How much pull there
is. Yeah. There really is a lot of pull. Right. So we can take advantage
now,
of
that. If you are going to send, if you want to use the law of attraction, before you do that, you have to send it out, as I said. And you send out your thought during the new moon, it's going to go out and reach the people. The energy will hit everybody. In other words, it'll reach the people that are more able to help you to achieve your goal.
Yes. So you're talking about physical, using
that's
the physical.
That's combining the metaphysical with the physical.
With the physical, exactly.
Now, this is not astrology.
No.
It's astronomy. It's a totally different thing.
That's exactly
astrology
right.
Astrology is in the metaphysical.
Right.
Astronomy is in the physical plane.
Yeah. Well, Bert, listen, we are running out of time here. We're on we got a break. I know, I'm having so much fun talking with you. We're having a break coming up with the CBS News, but I want to let my listeners, you know, be able to get in touch with you. And what is the best way online to look up all the information you have about quantum jumping as well?
Well, you can go to quantumjumping.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or my name is Bert Goldman, B-U-R-T. You can go to bertgoldman.com and see a few other things that I've got. And if you want to see my art and see some of the books, I've got an entire book for people that they can read. It's an inspirational novel that if they go to bertsart.us, scroll to the bottom, the whole book is there.
Yeah, and you wrote that book while you were quantum jumping. I mean, it really gave you not while you were jumping, but when you came back out again, you really got
the
inspiration.
That's right, I got the inspiration from, yes.
That's amazing. Bert, I could talk to you for so many more hours, and I'm sure my listeners are sad to hear you go. But we'll have you back again, hopefully.
And we'll do it again, Michelle.
We'll continue
I would
this.
Love to.
Great. Thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest, Bert.
And thank you for having me.
Oh, I appreciate your time. Take good care now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, that's again Bert Goldman. He's all over the internet. If you Google his name, and if you Google quantum jumping, you'll go through Google for several pages, and that's the way it's going to work. All right, I've got to get out of here because we do have CBS News coming up, and this is Dr. Michelle with you. You've been on the couch with me. My special guest today, of course, Bert Goldman, the American monk. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for other people. And that's the way it works. All right. Be back tomorrow. And also, that'll be on a rerun. You can download the show right here on LA Talk Radio or, of course, on iTunes on your podcasts. Live next Friday at 11. Surprise guest. Have a great day. Bye-bye.